In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Last week we began to speak about dealing with low self-esteem, and how can we deal with it. And we established, last week we spoke about what is low self-esteem. First we spoke about there are three types of esteem. There's inflated self-esteem, which is one thinks too much of himself. High self-esteem, which one thinks he values himself appropriately. But remember, said this comes with an asterisk. We need to have humility. And last, we have this, the low self-esteem, which is what we were speaking about. And low self-esteem, we said that basically self-esteem is how we look at ourselves and how we value ourselves. Because sometimes how we look and value ourselves is different than how others look to us and value us, and how God will look to us and value us. And we spoke about, of course, low self-esteem is not the same as humility. Low self-esteem is devaluing ourselves, but humility is somebody who considers himself the servant of others and raises others, you know, to them. And we gave the example of St. Paul. And we also spoke last week about what leads us to develop low self-esteem. And we said a lot of this begins in childhood. And we spoke about the disapproval of authority figures, emotional distance between parents, physical or emotional abuse, contentious between parents, like if the parents aren't having a good relationship, this can lead the children to have low self-esteem. Bullying without parental protection, so if somebody's bothering the child and he feels that the parent is not there to protect them, having academic difficulties, guilt associated with our faith, and the social beauty standard, the skewed social beauty standard, and setting unrealistic goals. Today we'll speak about the consequences of having low self-esteem, what the consequences, what do we see, and then how can we develop a healthy esteem of ourselves? How can we look ourselves in a healthy way? The first consequence for having low self-esteem is that, and we said it's basically self-esteem is how we value ourselves. For if I don't value myself appropriately and in the right way, I'll end up putting my value in things that can potentially harm me. Any idea or concept or person or relationship, and if I don't have a good self-esteem, then I'll give myself to this idea or this person thinking that because they accept what I'm doing, that this is some way of me validating myself and getting value for myself. Let me give you an example. If a person, for example, doesn't value their purity and value their body, it would be very easy for them to be given into, you know, pornography and this kind of, you know, things that are inappropriate, things that are online. Because I don't look at myself as being valuable, right? And a lot of times, you know, those who really get entangled with this and live like and live out this kind of lifestyle, there even could be some kind of abuse as a child. So this leads the child to not value themselves, so they can live out this kind of life. Also, you know, for example, also they will engage in these unhealthy relationships. Even, for example, if a person doesn't value the human life. If we don't look at the union of a man and a woman as being something that is sacred, something that is blessed by God, then when there's an idea or a concept or a practice called abortion, I can easily accept it because I don't have the value of human life, right? Because this is, in essence, killing unborn children, right? So if I have no value of myself, then it'd be very easy to devalue others, right? And therefore I can support these kinds of agendas and these kinds of practices or policies. If we understood the dignity and value of human being and human life, we could never support the murder of the unborn. Also, we'll find those who have low self-esteem have a problem with their friends and their relationships. Because again, it's just the relationships will be seeking after approval and validation, even if I'm being influenced in a negative way. Because the most important to me is that, okay, I have this low self-esteem, and I don't look at myself as being valuable. So I search for valuable in anyone and everyone I can find. And if that means I sacrifice my purity, I sacrifice my principles, I sacrifice my family, I sacrifice my friends, I will do it, right? Just for the sake of getting this affirmation and validation. Also, it can cause seriously impair academic and job performance. If somebody has low self-esteem, their academics will usually suffer and the performance at work will suffer. Because they're always questioning themselves. Is what I'm doing enough? Is it okay? And when you make a mistake, it's like the end of the world. I'm a failure. I'm a no good. They're going to fire me. Kida, right? So they often have these problems in performing their tasks, whether academic or job-related. Also, having a low self-esteem can increase vulnerability to drugs and alcohol abuse. Again, because I don't have value, so I will hang out with those who do these things. And typically, those who do these kind of practices, because they want to make it seem like they're okay, they try to get everybody around them to do the same, right? Just so that they feel they're not doing anything wrong. That's why if there's one person among many who don't drink, for example, or smoke, they will work to get that person to do it because that person rebukes them, right? And if this person has a low self-esteem, then guess what? They'll easily give in to it. Or cursing, right? If my friends at school are cursing, and I'm the only one who doesn't curse, a person with low self-esteem amongst all this will easily give in and start cursing. But a person who has high self-esteem and has humility will never give in to this. Also, so all of these negative consequences can take a person into a downward spiral. So things go from bad to worse to even worse. And it can ultimately lead us to self-destructive behavior, as I mentioned above. So how can we develop a healthy self-esteem? How can we look at ourselves in a healthy way? Number one, we have to ask ourselves the question, where does my value come from? Where does my value come from? St. Paul, in one of the letters, he said about himself that he doesn't even judge himself. He doesn't judge whether he approves of himself or doesn't approve of himself. He says this doesn't matter because at the end of the day, I'm not going to stand in front of myself to be judged, right? I'm going to stand in front of God. So he looks at himself and basically what matters to him is only how God looks at him, not how others look at him and value him, nor about how even he looks at himself and judges himself. Because at the end of the day, it's how God looks at me. So how do we value ourselves? Number one, we have to understand that we were created by God and His image. None of the other creatures in the world, none of God's creation had this blessing or had this honor that we were created in His image and after His likeness. And it's very evident. The gift of reason, understanding, of prayer, of connecting with God is only given to humanity, right? So, forgive me for all those who love animals. I love animals too. But when we're talking about saving the animals, but then half of the human race is starving and has no food, this kind of, to me, is kind of nonsense. So let's care for those who are most valuable first, right? Again, I don't mean this in a way that devalues animals. I love animals and everything. But at the end of the day, who's the most important? Who's the most valuable of God's creatures? It's humanity. So he put us like as the crown of His creation. So He values us. Also, we are His children. It wasn't enough that He put us as the crown of His creation, but He made us His adopted children, grafted into His body, right? To be united with Him. Again, this is because He values us. He values us dearly. And what did this cost Him? It cost Him the incarnation. Like, He took off, he temporarily put aside His divinity to come and take flesh and to live with us and to be subject to all of the pain and suffering that we go through and ultimately to die on our behalf on the cross and to suffer for us. He did this. Look what St. Paul says. He says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." That would be us. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die." So he says, okay, for a good man, we might dare to die. We might think, okay, maybe I'll risk myself. But for a bad man, nobody will die. I'll take this even further. What will you give in exchange for your life? If I asked each one of you, what would you give in exchange of your life? Or who would you give in exchange for your life? If we sit here and think about it for a little bit, maybe the only person that I would give my life in exchange for would be my children. Right? We are children. I can give my life for my children. Sure. And I would give an organ or something if it means my child will live, and I will depart. No problem. But then you know what the next question is? What will you give in exchange for the life of your child? Nothing. Nothing, right? Nothing. This is the most valuable, they're the most valuable we have. We won't give anything. Is this not what the Lord did? Is this not what God did? So what he says, that he gave his only begotten son for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for us. So he gave the most precious and valuable thing to him for us. Are we not valuable then? We're valuable. If you were to take somebody, if you were to put this scenario among us, and I gave the life of my son for one of your children, what would this say? What would this say? That you value my child's life more than your son's life? This is something unthinkable, right? So if we see ourselves in this light of how much God loves us this much, we would value ourselves in the right light. Not only does God love us so much, but he honors us so highly. Pay attention to this part in Ephesians chapter 3. Look what he says. St. Paul says, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ. So he's saying, through me, he showed me so much grace to allow me to share the gospel, this thing that has been hidden before all ages, and this plan of salvation, he's revealed to me, and he, from times past it was hidden. And he says what? To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Who are the principalities and the powers? Who are they? They're angels. They're the angels. They're ranks of angels. So what is he saying here? He's saying that the church of God will reveal to the angels his mysteries. Can you believe that? Us as human beings, created from the dirt, right? That we will reveal God's mysteries to the angels in heaven. What great honor is this? What great honor is this? It's a great honor. And not only that, listen to what he says in Corinthians. Listen to what he says in Corinthians. He says, do you not know that we shall judge the angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? So he's saying that we will judge the angels. So not only will we reveal to him the mysteries, or reveal to them the mysteries of God, but we'll also judge the angels, us humans? Yes, because he honors us so much. So he loves us and he honors us so much. These are the first two. The third way we develop this healthy self-esteem is handling success and compliments with humility. Handling success and compliments with humility. So sometimes it's harder to handle compliments and success than it is failure. Because failure, we already feel bad and we know we made a mistake. It's easy. Unless it keeps us humble. But sometimes when we have success, and we have, compliments from others, it's more difficult for me to handle. As St. Paul said in the same chapter in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. So he doesn't deny his position as an apostle, but he says, what? It's by the grace of God. And he continues and says, having understood this, he's able to say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. How many of us would be able to say this? I can't say this. I can't tell you, imitate me, for I imitate Christ. It's very hard for someone to say, imitate me. But if he sees himself, not that he's perfect, right? But that he sees himself in the same, in the correct way, in relation to God. Imitate me in this way. That it's by the grace of God that I am who I am, right? With all of the success that St. Paul had. But he understood at one point he was a sinner. At one point, he was dragging the Christians to their death and to be stoned. But it's by God's grace that he appeared to him, changed his life, and yes, he became the greatest evangelist of all time, right? But at the end he says, it's by the grace of God. It's not by me. So he handled this success and compliment with humility. And he continues to tell his disciple Timothy, This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So yes, he sees God's grace, but then he looks at himself and says what? I am the chief among sinners. I'm the first among all of the sinners. So yes, there is success, but at the same time, I look at the reality of things, and because I know myself better than anybody else, then I look at myself and say, no, I'm the chief among the sinners, because I see myself, I see my sins the clearest. Number four is, don't belittle yourself. Don't belittle yourself. Belittling yourself is, again, yani, we shouldn't do this. Sometimes, kiddo, we think this is funny by belittling ourselves. Or even if we don't say it out loud, we say it internally. We say, who am I? God can't use me. I'm a nobody, right? Or I'm just a horrible person. I keep making mistake after mistake, and everybody hates me, right? This kind of belittling yourself, yani, is not healthy. And to be quite honest, sometimes it can come from the seeds of pride, especially as an adult. Maybe as children, this is really, this is how they feel. But when an adult says this, sometimes this is coming out of the seeds or a form of pride. My beloved, pride cannot be beat out of us by simply belittling ourselves. Sometimes we say, ana haqir, wana wahad mish mustahil, wana mutakhallif. We can say all of these things about us, thinking that lamashtam nafsi, yamkin al kibriyat titla. It doesn't come out like that. Al kibriyat mish titla, one curses themselves. It comes out with humility. It comes out with our relationship with Rabbina, right? It doesn't come out by making ourselves yani saying these things about ourselves. Lastly, developing health self-esteem, just as it can be formed easily in children, and this is where it usually is formed, the same thing. How can we develop a healthy self-esteem for children and the young age? Number one, what helps them develop a healthy self-esteem is being praised. And the praise here is fitting praise. It's not praise for anything and everything, right? And for praising something they ought to do. Like, for example, yani, good job today, Habibi, I'm so proud of you, you got dressed today. So what? He's supposed to do that, right? But it's praising for something that he put effort to achieve, right? Even if my son, for example, or my daughter, they get 100 on all their tests in school and they never study. They're just gifted like this, right? Yalla shatir, good job, Habibi, you got all hundreds without any effort. Actually, I shouldn't praise that. I shouldn't praise that because he didn't put forth the effort. Perhaps I challenge him and give him or her something more. And when they achieve at this, then this is worthy of praise. But just praising with something with no effort that's not theirs, again, it does nothing. So, but praise helps children develop good self-esteem when it's in its right place. Also being listened to, and being spoken to respectfully. So, being listened to. Sometimes, in the busyness of our life as parents, we don't take time to listen to our children and to ask them questions. Say, abuna, homish bikalimni. He doesn't speak with me, or she doesn't speak with me. So this means, khalas, we don't talk with them? No, we make an effort. Now we have to just engage, yes. So, and it makes more on our part to get things out of them. But when they share these things with us, they feel this connection, and this gives them value. At the end of the day, if the child doesn't believe that their parents value them, it'd be very difficult for them to value themselves. And this will carry on for the rest of their life. Any adult or authority figure, they feel they don't value them. Because at the end of the day, mom and baba, they didn't value me. They didn't spend time to listen to me. And speaking respectfully. Yani, again, we speak with our kids with respect. Yani, this doesn't mean that yani, there's no discipline or anything. But we speak with respect, right? We call them names yani, and tell them like their failures and all these things. Also getting attention and like the touch of hugs. As for young children, this gives them a sense of security. And when they have this sense of security, then they feel safe and they feel secure. So they feel, okay, I'm in a safe environment. So they can grow with a healthy self-esteem. But if the child feels insecure in their home and insecure out of their home, then any place that makes them feel secure, they will be attracted to. So then they have this weak self-esteem where anybody or anyone gives me this, just a glimpse of safety, I'll do whatever they want just so I can have the sense of safety and security. This is why, you know, kids and things, they get into gangs and get into these groups because this is where I feel safe, right? But if the safety was in the home, then they have no reason to go any outside. Also, experience success in sports and school, again, will help them build their confidence and their self-esteem, especially because these things are things that they compare with one another. The kids, they compare with each other, how they play in sports and how they achieve in school. So again, helping them to achieve in these things can help their self-esteem. But this is maybe something to a lower any degree. Lastly is having trustworthy friends. Having trustworthy friends. Having friends that I trust and that have like the same mentality as me, this will help me in my self-esteem. It's very hard for one person to stand against maybe, you know, a group of people that's cursing or doing something bad or watching something bad. But if I have one other person who's like me, then this gives me the confidence to be able to withstand it. So as they're growing, having a good friend that's, you know, a good example and thinks like them will help them to have develop this healthy, you know, self-esteem, especially in their peer groups. So we said a few things. How can we develop a healthy self-esteem is ask ourselves where our value comes from, right? Our value comes from God, as He values us so dearly, as He created us in His image, we're His children, and He gave His the life of His Son for us. Also, that He honors humanity. Not only does He love them, He honors them and us, and He handles success and we handle success and compliments with humility. Don't belittle yourself. And lastly, you know, these few points that are said about instilling this kind of healthy self-esteem in children. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.